is the Different Football Show. VAR You Serious on FUBAR Radio with Cecil G. Thomas.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to VAR You Serious. There's been some controversial actually VAR decisions and maybe some referee decisions that we're going to go over briefly on this today's show. Of course, you really know what you're listening to. It's a football show with a bit of a difference. It's everything you love about the sport, but it flips it completely on its head. Fantasy 11s, where we build 11s that no one's really asked for. There's rants of the week, where people can just get things off their chests, you know, how they feel about anything, if I'm honest. It's a nice place to rant when you're on radio and you've got listeners to speak to. We obviously talk about the odd tinfoil hat conspiracy, of course. It's not all madness, though. Sometimes we do shine a light on the real stories that are within football, from the fans, from the people that have worked within clubs, from people that have built football clubs, from their kitchen table. This isn't your average football show. You already know what this is. This is VAR. Are you serious? Football beats funny and every fan has a story. And today's guest, a producer, but a man who supports Manchester City, and there was not a better time to get him on than today. We've got Kim Kafari in the place to be. Come on, G.
Good morning. Yeah, weird being in this side of the studio, though.
Yeah, well
usually them over there in your ear telling you what to do.
True. Bit of bias, and some of the I should have won, in my opinion, the Fantasy 11s 2-2, but
you gave me. I don't know, man.
Anyway, we're going to get into that later today. Actually, I get to go up against you. So who's going to decide? We've got.
I'm going to decide.
No,
I'm deciding. I'm still the producer. Don't get it twisted.
All right, let's get into you, Kim. Let's just talk about, you know, how you got into this space as well. You know, we'd like to do this with all our guests. Just find out how, you know, you kind of enter the sports media space. I know, you know, you're a broadcaster. You're a journalist as well. I see you working with Sky and whatnot. Got a good CV. You started as you still are an avid football fan, obviously following Manchester City, but it's always good to let listeners know how you got into this space because it's ever growing. Talk to us.
Yeah, weird one. Really, really weird one. Mm. Never, ever thought that I wanted to go into sports. Like, obviously for you, you were a footballer and then you thought, okay, right, this is the way that my direction is going to go now.
Yep.
And you've absolutely smashed it. For me, I never thought that. Like, I did philosophy at uni and I was like, I just want to be a teacher. I thought maybe I wanted to be a lecturer or something in philosophy. Yeah. Went to uni, my attendance was 11%. I got caught up doing everything other than uni. And then I came out.
I want to be a teacher, but I'm not.
Yeah, I want to be a teacher, but I don't want to learn and I don't want to teach. Yeah. And then I came out of uni and I was like, right, look, philosophy, like, okay, there are loads of different jobs I could do, but none of them are piquing my interest at all. So I was like, I need to go back to uni. I'm going to go and do a journalism master's. Wanted to be like an investigative journalist, like a Louis Farrugh type figure.
Nice.
And then as I was doing my master's halfway through, COVID started. So all of the plans changed. Everything was then online rather than being in person. And we had our final ever assessment, which was done on Zoom. And loads of different people were invited to the Zoom from all over the industry, like people from Kiss Radio, people from Capital, whatever.
Wow.
And there was just this one guy called Joe Amphlett at TalkSport who was on there. After that, I messaged him on Twitter. I was like, look, I know it's COVID. Can I just come in just for like a tour of the office? Like, he was talking about how amazing it was, like 17th floor, London Bridge next to the Shard. I was like, oh, I just want to go and have a look around.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like, I've listened to like Alan Brazil and Ray Parler all my life.
Cool,
so I was like, oh, yeah. Any chance I can just get in the building just to have a look around? Went in and madly.
So did he reply to the Twitter?
He replied to the DM. He was like, yeah, you can come in. Yeah. He was like, yeah, come in for a little view of the office, like, just to see how it works. Because obviously, like, my tweet was like, my DM was like, I really want to try and get into the sports industry, even though, like, at that time, I didn't even really. I just wanted to see what it was like, to be honest. And I was so lucky when I went in, someone was ill, and they couldn't come in to do their job that day.
So then what?
And Joe Amphlett was like, can you just try and do this? He put me on the phones. He was like, all you need to do is just answer the phones, say, hello, this is TalkSport, like, What point do you have to make? And then maybe like 4 or 5 hours later, got a text from someone else like, there's three shifts next week. Do you want to do them? And that was literally it. That was the next like 3 years of my life. Then started like assistant producing on Breakfast Show. Mm-hmm. And then as anyone who's young and coming up in the sports industry, everyone wants to get on air, don't they?
Yeah, fair.
Let's be honest.
You're doing your passion now. And as well as producing this show, now a strong guest.
Yeah.
And a strong guest because yesterday, ay, ay, ay. It was tough. It was a tough. I got my seat ready. I said, there's no way. One win in 22 years at Anfield for Man City. I said, this is the weekend Arsenal win the league. We beat Sunderland convincingly 3-0. I said, yep, this is it. This all lines up and gears up to be a perfect weekend. Liverpool versus Manchester City. I said, yeah, mate, City's falling apart. This could be the time where, you know, Pep this is it. This could be his last call. This might be his last trip to Anfield. I thought they were going to put him to bed. I actually thought we were going to get battered before the game. Don't know. This is just me just being a fan. Just thinking, I think Liverpool are going to smoke them. You know, the atmosphere, the energy at Anfield. I know what it's like to go to Anfield. It's tough. Didn't turn out that way. We're going to have to discuss it.
I'm so happy I can finally put these on.
Oh, no, he's got gloves. I haven't got my red glasses.
You've been having them on for weeks. And my eyes have been suffering. Now I can just sit here with my shades on.
Still 6 points, Kim.
I don't even care. Oh. I don't even care if we still don't win the league. Fact that we won at Anfield is...
That's a big feat. Honestly, I can't lie.
Bro, like, I know football is obviously all about emotion, right?
Of course.
I have genuinely not been that happy in such a long time. Like, the manner of that win...
Hold on, you got engaged this year. What you say?
Bro. What do you want me to say?
I love this.
What do you want me to
football
say?
Football is such a this, man.
That was honestly... That Haaland penalty going in was just one of the best moments of my life. I know it's ridiculous, and you are right, though. It's 6 points, right?
Yeah.
There's a very, very good chance that we still won't win the Premier League. But I do think, and Joe Hart said it actually on Match of the Day yesterday, I don't think that the City players actually ever believed that we could win the league. Mm. And I think yesterday has made them believe.
Yeah.
Like, you look at the stats. So in 2026, we hadn't scored a single goal in the second half.
Correct.
Which is crazy. The whole of the season, we hadn't got a single point from being in a losing position. We also hadn't won at Anfield, and I'm not counting the COVID year, in 23 years.
That is nuts.
So doing all of those things at exactly the same time, in the 95th minute, right?
Yeah.
In a game where, let's be completely honest, we deserved to win that game. We should have been we should have been 2-3 up in the first half. Maybe the second.
No, because Liverpool had big chances.
Liverpool did have big chances, that's true.
Haaland had a chance. At the beginning, Haaland had a chance. But I think as a game, I don't know. A draw would have been fair.
Maybe a draw would have been fair.
If I'm being a neutral. I obviously want Liverpool to win, but I think a draw would have been fair because there were some big chances from Liverpool. And we'll get some controversial. We'll talk about that.
But I mean, there's so many, like, it exercised so many demons at Anfield. Like, we have, as you say, we haven't won there in like 23 years. We had the Mahrez penalty in 2018, yep, where he blazed it over the bar. That's still in orbit now. Like, that was in like the 89th minute or something. We've had so many of these unlucky moments. We've also been destroyed in the Champions League at Anfield. Like, it's been the most difficult place for us to go. We've got the worst record there.
And so also the Arsenal story. That's why I think what you're touched on here is quite important, because it's like that monkey off your back it can give you, or fans especially, if we beat Liverpool. We haven't beat Liverpool in Anfield. I don't know. I'm actually going to check it in a second, but it's been years. So I get the sort of, there's a feeling that maybe you don't want to go too far.
No, you don't want to go too far.
Because I get it. Like, it's still 6 points. And I know you've been on, not here on air, but you've been on shows and said before, like, if we lost to Man United and stuff, then we're not going to win the league. But if I was a City fan, I know there's a quiet little voice somewhere saying, hey, this ain't done.
I think we're going to win the league. I'm not even ashamed to say it. I think we're going to win the league.
Kim,
after
you
yesterday.
Said you weren't going to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't even care. I was stood up in the living room yesterday, just like pointing at the screen like, we're going to win the league. We're going to win the league. We're going to do it. I am convinced. Oh, I am now convinced, yeah.
Because I get that.
We play before you on Thursday.
Correct.
You're away at Brentford.
Yep,
tough
correct.
Game. I still probably think you'll win. But I think 6 points, given that we still play you at the Etihad,
yeah,
where you don't have a very good record at all there.
Yeah, very true.
Is, to me, if we can win that game, basically my opinion is if we win all our games, we'll win the league. Same for you.
Yeah.
I think you will drop 3 points, yeah, at least.
I think so.
And I think if we beat you, there's a chance for the other 3 points.
Correct.
I think if we win all of our games, we'll win the league. And I do think that we've won the traditionally hardest game that we could possibly have, which is Liverpool away, mentally, and the fact that we haven't won there in so long. And I do think that this will galvanise the players to be like, oh, okay, we actually can. Now we can do it. And we've got, and bro, think about it. We've just come away from Man United away, Spurs away, and Liverpool away. They are, objectively, apart from Arsenal away, that, our three hard, worst
yeah, yeah.
fixtures.
Yeah, agreed.
And we've just done them all in 3 weeks, and we're still only 6 points behind.
I think.
What do you think?
No, I'll be honest. Obviously, but people messaging me, Big Steve as well, and that saying, don't slip up. And Arsenal fans are worried now. I see a lot of stuff online. But I'm annoyed it's not 9 points at the end of this weekend at the gap. But I will say My brain just goes straight to the Carabao Cup final. I think if you beat us there, I think we're in trouble for the league. Mm. I think it's such a psychological edge. I think it's massive. I know they were saying it last night, but I was saying this from like 2 weeks ago, or last week, obviously, when we knew we had you in the final. I said, there's no bigger psychological edge when you see another team on the bottom of the stairs, when you're at Wembley lifting the trophy and saying, we've got to come and play you soon. And especially if you beat them, it's not going to be a convincing win, I think, that Carabao Cup final. I just think it's going to be a very tight game. It's going to be a very tactical game. But I think the psychological edge it gives you if you win is mm-hmm. so, so big. Because I think if you beat us at Wembley, considering fans, and listen, we're not going to win the quad, but fans are, I think majority of fans I speak with, including myself, say, we're going to win maybe two trophies. I think that's what most fans go for. They go for the League Cup and they say the Premier League. If you knock one of those off and it's the team that are behind us, if I was a player, like I have been before in a change room, and I've beaten you in a final, I've said, I'll be going to the boys. Come on, boys, they're not all that. We do what we did here, and we just go on a little run. We win this title. They're not made for it. So yeah. I look at it from the Carabao Cup final. That's what I'm a bit worried. I just think that will be the catalyst for me. I mean, I know that's next month, but
it's so exciting though, isn't it?
No, it is. Not. It's annoying.
So exciting.
No, for you and for me as well, actually, if I'm honest. As all football fans in general, it makes the title race open. It makes it, even though I know there's still a 6-point gap, it does make it entertaining towards the back end of the season. However, I would, as a fan, I would have loved just a 9-point gap, get this Premier League done early, and then you can start focusing on League Cup, Champions League. Like that was, me and Robbie were speaking about it last week. We said, people talking about the quads and free trophies, but if to do that, you kind of have to get the Premier League out of the way quite early, as well as the cap. Once you get that in the bag, then you can focus on other things.
I don't think we've ever just won the Carabao Cup.
Because me and, I was just speaking to a few fans. I said, well, a fan asked me, he's like, oh, if we win the Carabao Cup, when's the parade? I said, no one ever does, unless you're, not to listen respectfully, like the Palaces or the Newcastles. You'd parade that, but I don't think you parade just a single trophy. I think you bring it along with others. Like Liverpool on for the quad, I think two seasons ago, and then they ended up just winning the Carabao Cup and they cancelled that, like, even though it was Klopp's last season, they cancelled that. But like, yeah, I'm sure.
I am pretty sure every single time we won the Carabao Cup, we won the league.
That is mental.
I'm pretty sure. It's hard to remember all these trophies to be fair.
All right, Kim. Enough of that.
I do have a feeling that you are right. That is basically, in my opinion, the final of the Premier League.
Yeah.
I think whoever wins that will go on to win the league.
I think so. I think mentality wise, human wise, like as a player as well, I think that the confidence it gives, if I was in that change room, listen, this could be completely wrong, and Mikel Arteta might be able to regal, because some Arsenal fans are saying it's two separate things, Cecil. You shouldn't say if you lose that, you lose it. But I just think if I'm a human and how I think in a change room, I've been saying, boys, this is it. The momentum, the boost, you've just beaten the team that is chasing you. You've got to play them again. You should have full confidence to take on what you've just faced. And then if you lose, the vice versa, the opposite effect happens. So yeah, I think that is going to be key. Who are you looking at going down this season? Because they do you know what keeps annoying me? Is the fact that people come to Arsenal fans, me included, they say, this is a crap league. This is not a good league. The level of this league is terrible. I'm saying, my friend, in the Champions League, we're top. We won every game. So that means all leagues, I know we didn't play every team, but most of the top leagues and top teams, we played and we beaten. Cool, that's one reason. Secondly, the teams that got promoted last year, of past years, normally go back down. This year, completely different. Leeds are up there. They're not in the relegation battle, shall we say. Sunderland, they're in 7th, 8th. They're flying, mm-hmm. yeah? Burnley, okay, fair. That's the only thing. But I'm like, let's be real. Every team are nicking points off every team. I think, if anything, everyone's just got stronger. The point, I can see sometimes people are dropping points, but like the points tally from this time last year to now, there's more points in this league. So I don't know. I find it interesting.
I honestly think, and this has got no slight on Arsenal, I do think that the quality of the Premier League is the worst it's ever been.
Oof.
I do think that. And I think, to be completely honest, I don't think that you are that brilliant. And I don't think you've had to be that brilliant.
No, that's fair.
I don't think you're that brilliant. And like, when you look at other teams who have won the Premier League, when you look at even Liverpool's team last year, I think they'd probably be top of the league. You look at City Centurions, you look at that Chelsea under Mourinho side, you look at Liverpool under Klopp as well. I don't think that you have been that brilliant. But that's not a slight on you, because you can only be as good as the teams in front of you.
What do you mean not that? As in, The style of play, I agree. We don't mean great playing wise, but I think
football has just changed.
Yeah, to win all those games and finding a way to win all those games across all the competitions. I don't know. I think
maybe not brilliant is maybe a bit too harsh, but I think football has changed.
Yeah, that's great.
So much so that the quality of the matches is lower.
Mm-hmm.
That is true, right?
That's fair.
Me and you love football.
Yeah, but watch it at the moment.
And I will watch, if I'm at home in the weekend, I will watch every single televised game that I can possibly watch. But I would say that this year, the quality of those games has been worse.
That's fair.
The excitement factor isn't there. I don't think the goals are being scored as good. I think there's an over-reliance on throw-ins. There's an over-reliance on set pieces.
Agreed.
And I do think that the excitement quality has got worse. But where I do agree, I think that the overall quality of the Premier League has become closer. I think it's become worse, but I think the teams around have all squished together. Like the fact that Palace are 6 points off the relegation zone, but 7 points off Europe. That's brilliant. That's objectively really good for the league.
Yeah.
And that makes it really, really exciting, is that anyone can beat anyone. Sunderland put in an unbelievable performance against you.
Yeah.
Years gone by, the team who have become promoted would be getting absolutely slapped up by the team that are at the top of the league. So I do think that the quality is worse, but I think it's a lot more even.
That's fair. That's true.
And I think when you're talking about the relegation battle, Leeds, Forest, West Ham are the three who are fighting for that last position.
Mm-hmm.
And I genuinely think that Forest could be going down.
I
think Sean Dyche has done a terrible job. And I don't think anyone's talking about it. He's basically got the same squad that came fifth and almost qualified for the Champions League last year, and he's got them in 17th, and they can't win a single game.
Yeah, they're 3 points off the bottom.
Three points off the bottom of 18th.
So yeah,
and West Ham are West Ham, man. West Ham can't go down. No, they can't.
West Ham are picking up. Well, they're picking up a bit of
form at the moment, good bit of form,
which I need, because then they can drag Tottenham into that. I need Tottenham in that battle, because Tottenham are joint with Leeds on 29 points. Nottingham Forest on 26 points in 17th, and West Ham on 23. So, and West Ham right now, Somerville, by the way, big him up. They're on good form. I'm hoping it continues. And I'm hoping to see Tottenham drop in there a little bit.
Do you think Spurs can? Really though. What is wrong with them? They've got good players, and they've got a manager who was good last year.
Last season they were around that they were 17th around that spot as well. I don't know. They got good players though. You're right what you say there. They got the foundation. They got Casadio. They got all of that. But even Thomas Frank, I thought was a good manager. To see him at 15th is crazy.
Mental.
And do you know what makes it even more mad? In the Champions League, they're actually pretty good. So that's why it's so bewildering that they're sitting in 15th. But, you know, glory to Arsenal, and I hope that continues. And I have to say that as an Arsenal fan. Let's move on. Before we go to the break, let's go to your rant of the day. But before we go into it, it's not going to be a rant, but I just want to give some love and hold, by the way. Arsenal women's beat Man City women's yesterday. Mm-hmm. Come on, I was watching that 1-0 win. So big up the Arsenal ladies as well. I've seen a bit of back and forth between, not even back and forth, but Laura Woods was putting out, you know, she was replying to Enea Luko as well. I'm a friend of Enea Luko, so like all love to her. But I hear what Laura Woods was saying as well, just the fact that women shouldn't just be broadcasters or be pundits for women's games. Like, it shouldn't be that. It should be able to mix, because it builds up the women's game. Listen, of course, there's a disparity between the men's and women's, but there's obvious reasons for that. But I'm actually an advocate for the women's game, because my life's changed recently, of course. And I'm quite close to a lot of the women football, especially at Arsenal. I have a friend as well at Tottenham, Drew Spence, and big up Bunny Shaw for Man City as well, Jamaican international. So, you know, I'm around a lot of the women's game, and I want to get to it more. It's a shame sometimes it clashes with the men's game, so that does make it difficult. But I just want to say, yeah, big up obviously the Arsenal women's, and more for it progressing as well. I think the Emirates looked very lively yesterday as well. That's where they played, which was nice to see as well. I love that. I love that they're playing in the main stadiums. And I also want to say, there was a thing, I said it wasn't going to be a rant, it does feel like a rant, but there was people moaning about the pitch at the Emirates. And even me, I was quite shocked when we played against Sunderland. I said, oh my God, the pitch, I've never seen the carpet look like this. Then someone said, oh, it's because the women are playing. And I said, that is absolutely ridiculous, because they've only played on it a few times. I think it's like 4 times already this season. So forget all that, let them play on it. And yeah, I think just the weather conditions, it was raining. If people that are listening, you will know it's been raining non-stop in the past couple of weeks. But anyway, not a rant, just big up the women's team. 1-0 to Man City. hold.
Let's
after this, let's go to Kim's rant of the day.
VAR, are you serious on FUBAR Radio?
Coming in, Kim, you have the floor. You know what? You ready? I don't even need to give you the breakdown of what's going on. It's your time to rant. Just get anything off your chest. I think this is mainly supposed to be around football, I think. But last week, we had Louis. He was just like, no, I have rants that I just want to get off my chest. Yeah. I don't have nothing
me
to do
too.
With football. Oh, you do as
me
well?
Me too. Love I mean, football. I want to very, very quickly just talk about that VAR yesterday in the City game.
Oh, we didn't even speak about it.
I've got to very quickly talk
wait,
about
wait,
that.
Wait, so the fight, the red card.
The red card.
Right. No, wait, right. Wait. It can't be a rant. Don't do a rant. Let's talk a little bit. Well, you go.
I'm angry though.
No, I can't. I still don't understand. Robbie gave me the whole, it's quite clear, like, you know, to disallow the goal. I was like, Rob, unless he's blown, because we obviously watched it without sound, unless he's blown the whistle before the ball's gone in, did that happen?
No.
Then it makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And this is what I say, and I'm sorry, I don't care. I know it's not professional. Hopefully Sky don't pick this up. I am sick of these little nerds getting involved in football. They're people who like football just enough, aren't good enough at football, and they just, they're up there with like policemen for me.
Yeah,
who are these guys? What are they doing? Why are you ruining that moment, that Ryan Cherki goal, after the last 20 minutes of what was the most insane end to one of the most exciting games of this season?
Facts.
That is probably going to decide the title race in some way or another. You've decided to ruin the best moment because of some weird little law. And not only that, now Szoboszlai's out for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You've taken all of the joy away from that moment. And that is the problem with VAR. I don't care whether they followed the rules or not with that. I think, yes, the rules were probably applied logically, and I think that the right decision by the rule book was probably decided.
Really?
I mean, that was the right decision because...
But I don't know what the... So what is the... I don't know what the law is, though. So,
the law is... The law
he's
is
fouled
that
him.
Erling Haaland has fouled Szoboszlai, right? So they were going to disallow the goal.
Wait, Erling Haaland's fouled.
So they were going to have to disallow the goal.
I thought Szoboszlai grabbed him
first,
though.
Because Szoboszlai grabbed him first and denied Haaland from getting to the ball and scoring it, they had to go back and rule him out for denial of a goal scoring opportunity and give him a red card. So I think... Logically, the rules were adhered to. However,
the ref didn't signal advantage, though, did he?
Yeah, the referee, I think, did signal advantage.
So then, if the goal goes in, I don't understand makes no sense.
It's not. It doesn't follow common sense.
It just
follows the letter of the law, and this is what I'm saying. The letter of the law is not important. The enjoyment of fans is important. It is an entertainment sport.
Facts.
The only thing that matters in football, when you strip everything back, you take away the money, you take away the tactics, the only thing that matters is us who pay our money to go and watch it and be entertained and get emotionally charged by the game. And if this VAR and these referees are going to ruin the emotion out of the game, then they should be nowhere near it. It's ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
And my next rant, which is not football related at all, but something I feel very, very, very passionate about, is umbrellas. What is the point of an umbrella?
They come out of nowhere.
Bro, they make me feel ill, bro.
No, you can't do
no,
that.
No, no, no. They make,
you can't
no,
do
they
that.
Make me feel absolutely ill. And it's been obviously ridiculous recently because there's been so much rain. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you why I hate umbrellas.
Yeah, okay? Please, because women who like chivalry and you know, men to be gentlemen will like to be held and like to have the umbrella held for them. They'll like...
There's a big design flaw though, Cecil. They're too big for the pavement. And they're too big for one person, and they're way too small for two people. So if I'm walking with an umbrella with my missus, at least half of me, at least my left side or my right side, is getting drenched in rain. Secondly, if I'm walking on the street and more than one other pedestrian has an umbrella, my eyes are getting poked out.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. It's embarrassing. You've got to open them outside or you'll get 7 years bad luck. So you've got to get wet before you open them anyway. The worst bit about the umbrella, the biggest design flaw, is that what usually accompanies rain in this country? It's the wind.
Yeah.
What is an umbrella's biggest kryptonite? The wind. It doesn't make any sense. Why am I walking outside, getting drenched, holding a piece of plastic that's upturned inside out, that is poking people's eyes out? It's just ridiculous.
What is the rain's biggest, the umbrella's biggest kryptonite? The wind.
It is, though.
I put that on a plaque. That is hilarious.
It's ridiculous. I'm sick of them.
It is true, but I just think you need an umbrella. I think you need bigger pavements or walk on bigger pavements, or you do need the umbrella. I don't know, I think you need the umbrella. Like I said, chivalry, the women really appreciate when the man is holding the umbrella. More time, I'll be honest, I just get wet. I just give the, I just Thank hold you. The umbrella for the lady. My lady, shall I say.
I'm sorry to be toxic masculinity.
Big time.
But bro, I can't respect a man who uses an umbrella. Just get wet. You live in
I'm with you.
England. It's going to rain 250 days of the year. Just get wet.
Now that I'm with you, because I like I said, I normally wear hoodies if I'm honest. So I normally have a hood, and that still is kind of annoying because the hood gets drenched. But I feel protected. That's why I'm like, I always say to my partner, I say, look, I'll just hold the umbrella for you. And also, if you're carrying or you're pushing, I know there'll be other people that say, oh, well, once I have a baby, I have to push my baby, keep them dry as well. So sometimes they have the umbrella.
If you've got a baby, you can keep your baby dry. Yeah. I'm not saying get a wet baby, but I'm saying if you're walking down the street on your own, just leave it out.
To be fair, one thing I will say in agreeance is the fact that, I don't know, they're so annoying to have bring out. It rains, and in England, it rains, but it stops quite a bit. So then you're carrying around an umbrella, which if I'm honest, I've lost a lot of my umbrellas. So I'm just like, it's sunny now. Like, I can't be bothered to keep carrying this around. So that is a bit of a hindrance. But I bougie life. You can stay in nice hotels. They have their own branded umbrellas. Sometimes they walk you to the car. You know what I mean? Sometimes that umbrella's useful in them situations. But yeah, day to day. I mean, I don't really walk around with an umbrella, if I'm honest. I haven't used an umbrella in a very long time.
It's embarrassing.
It is. Well, thank you for your rants. The VAR one, by the way, is definitely one that is needed. After this weekend and this show, VAR, are you serious? I was screaming that at the TV because I was thinking, what is going on? But coming up after the break, we'll have Kim be the ref of the day in one part of this show. But also we'll do the big debate, which people know, terrible at. Not really my strong suit, but we'll give it a go. So here we go, after this.
VAR, are you serious? On FUBAR Radio.
The big debate, this is the section that most listeners will know about. It's me versus you, Kim. In a big debate, we've got 90 seconds to make our case. Today's debate is, who's the best football club, City or Arsenal? I mean, well, what are we doing here? As a whole or this season?
As a whole.
Okay. We can't use the words, otherwise we get disqualified straight away.
I'm adding red to this, by the way.
Okay. So the words we can't use are Arsenal, City, blue. He's added red. Let me put that in. Sky Blues, London, Manchester, Premier League, Champions League. I really want to add in treble. But we're not going to do that.
Add in treble.
All right, we'll add in treble as well. We'll add in that as well. Okay, perfect. Champions League, MCFC and AFC treble. Right, so that is, again, for you guys, Arsenal, City, blue, Sky Blues, London, Manchester, Premier League, Champions League, MCFC, AFC, red and treble. That is going to be tough. Come on, you go first.
I can go first.
Oh, this is going to be I'm so bad at this. Let me get the timer up. Hold on. I'll try to think. No, I actually can definitely argue this, but geez, Louise and cheese. Let's do this. All right. You're going to argue and debate to me who is the best football club, Manchester City or Arsenal, in 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so firstly, I just want to establish that I'm talking about the only team, the only proper team, to come from the city which has 0161 as the telephone postcode. Okay? Just want you to know that. There is another team, but they play in Stretford, so we're not talking about that team. We're talking about the only 0161 football club.
And so the other team, United, don't have that?
No.
I didn't know that.
So let me just say that first of all.
I didn't know that.
That team is the best team out of these two.
Yep.
Because they have done things that the other team has been completely incapable of doing. They have won the highest honour in England with 100 points. They have also won the highest honour in England with the second highest honour in England with the highest honour in Europe in the same season, completing a hat-trick of incredible trophies.
Wow, he's done well.
This team that I'm speaking of also has an incredible fan base, which very, very often gets disregarded. But if you do know your facts about this fan base, they were the third highest average attendance from moving to the Etihad for the last 22 years.
Is that
not
a fact?
Only that, that is a fact. Yeah. Not only that,
okay.
They have the record for the highest attendance in English football of all time, which was 85,000. Is that it?
Yeah, you've hit, what, you've hit 90 seconds. So wait, so we're debating in the city. So you're debating against Manchester United, and I'm debating against.
No, I'm still debating against Arsenal. I just wanted to get it in there that Manchester United are from Stretford.
Okay. That was good. You actually did. You didn't mention.
I did speak quite slowly, but.
No, but you've
got to.
I've learned.
It's really hard, isn't it?
I've learned.
When I've been producing, I've been looking at you. I've been like, Seth was rubbish at this, and now I'm doing it. I'm like, this is actually almost impossible.
It's so difficult. If you speak with just chest and what you want to say, you'll lose.
If you go passion, you're out.
Yeah, you're out. Okay.
Okay.
Let's do this.
3, 2, 1, go.
So the Gunners, they are a better team than the 0161 because we have done something that has never been done in the EPL. We have gone invincible, okay? One thing. That is something that's still yet to be done, okay? That just puts us up there. Granted, the team from 0161, actually, they've done things, but they have been done before. We have something that has never been done before. We are global enterprise for many a year, never been relegated from the EPL. Let me make that very clear. Never been relegated, top flight forever. We have 13 league titles. So I had to just read if that was 13 league titles. I just read, I could say that, all good. Granted, some will say we don't have a certain European trophy, but we have got European heritage. It was way back in the day, but it still counts, in my opinion. We revolutionized the sport when we brought a certain manager to the club, in a sense that dietitian, the way we played, we coined a beautiful style of football. And I suppose that is 90 seconds. And it's tough. It's tough.
Do you know what?
It's tough.
Because it was the first time you've ever got through it, I'll give you the W. I'll let you in.
Yeah! For my own So, okay, you're being fair to this. That means, okay, the Fantasy 11, then when we get to it.
Fantasy 11 will be fair as well.
Will be fair. Okay, cool.
Fantasy 11 will be fair.
Right, let's go to ref for the day. Because we've had people on this. And I'll be honest, I thought when we first pitched doing this, it was quite a simple thing to be able to just sway the balance. But people have been struggling. Mm-hmm. They've really been struggling to think of rules that will make Real Madrid lose. Now, I have a lot of faith in you, Kim, I'll be honest. Because
I'm cooking.
Good, right. Well, we're going to go into this. People know, ref of the day, very simple. A £1 billion game. £1 billion. Real Madrid versus, let me pick a team. I'm going to see Millwall this week for talent transfer. So we're going to do Millwall under 18s. So they're a youth team. Quite physical. They're actually very good. Last year, Youth Cup, they went really far. Two years ago, they went really far. And they put a lot of their youth team into the first team. It's been proven. So, Millwall under 18s versus Real Madrid for £1 billion game. All you got to do is be the ref for the day. You got to sway the balance. We obviously want, because we're good-hearted people, we actually want Millwall to win. Plus, you get a cut of the £1 billion. Real Madrid, if they score, they obviously get a goal bonus to their players. So, it's a serious game. If you make it even, that is fine. But, like I said, we're good-hearted people. We want to see the underdog win the game. So, for you, Kim, what will the score be originally? This before we play Real Madrid versus under-18s against Millwall. What will the score actually be if that was the play?
I think if the Madrid players genuinely have a goal bonus and they are going to get a lot of money for winning and they are really invested in the game, I would say 20-0.
Yeah, fair. 20-25. They'll be going for it.
They're kids,
they'll get
right?
to 20 and be like, okay, this is...
Yeah, I would say about 20-0, maybe cool. 25-0.
So, you've got to now bring that down.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Give me three rules.
I want to enjoy watching this game.
Oh.
I want to actually have fun watching this game. And I want it to be entertaining for me as well. And I actually think that these rules, you initially might not think that they will make a big difference. But just let me explain them.
You have to explain them. And also, just so you know, you're kind of doing the... You're doing the standard here. As you are the producer. So what you do today, when we have other guests, I'm going to have to
They should look.
Yeah.
They should look at what I'm doing today.
Here we go.
The first one.
Okay, let's see where we go.
All the Real Madrid players.
Mm-hmm. I like the start already.
Have to wear motorbike helmets. You know the ones with the visors?
With the visors.
Full helmet on, visor.
It's tough to defend against though, isn't it?
You think about it. There's no peripheral vision.
Yes,
it's heavy on your head. Breathing is probably at some point going to be a bit of an issue.
Okay, you're thinking. You're thinking deeply.
You can't really go like. He's probably going to hurt your head if you go for a header.
I don't know, but if you hit it face on, instead of going for the top, if you're header, I think that's quite a bullet header there. But the breathing.
Would be a bit of a bullet header.
The breathing, though, and the scanning, yeah, they're struggling a little
bit. And you would win every 50-50 in the air because no one's going for a header.
I'm not heading up
if he's got a helmet on.
No way. But.
But it's awkward.
Yeah.
It's going to be awkward.
That's taking off some goals. I'll be honest. We're going down. We'll start the 20-0. I'm thinking that's knocking off a good. It's tough, you know. Real under 18s, I've got to give them some respect here because they still give them a bit of a game, but they get fitness wise. I think long term, towards the back end of the game, they're going to struggle. But if they make subs, I'm taking off, I think, 6 goals there. So I'm going to go, that makes it 14. But I'm going to say Real will do score a few goals because the keeper's got a helmet as well, let's not forget.
Keeper's got a helmet.
And he's got to try and dive. That could hurt as well if he hits the. Yeah, man. That's going to affect him.
If a ball comes in low. Yeah. Low into the corner,
and he got there.
And there's a couple bodies in the way. He's just not getting there.
Okay, so they're scoring at least 3 goals. Okay, it's about 14-3 right now.
Okay.
Yep, that's the first one. I'll give you that 14-3 to start with. That's good. It's a good start.
4 of Real Madrid's players, they can decide themselves.
Yep.
Have to walk around carrying a lawnmower. However, if the ball hits the lawnmower, like in hockey, if the ball hits your feet,
it's
an instant direct free kick to Millwall.
But they can pick the players.
They can pick the players.
Who have the lawnmowers.
But their hands are glued to the lawnmower.
Okay, so they can't be. They would never pick the goalkeeper because they'll give away penalties all the time.
I mean, how are they? How can they even kick it behind the lawnmower?
No, they can't. They can't. They can't. That's a big hindrance. Big hindrance.
That's a huge hindrance.
Are they lawnmowering? Are they cutting the grass at the same time? Or is it off? Or is it just? Is it just a prop? Because.
It's on, but they're not doing any damage to the grass. Okay. It's sort of on a setting where they're not really affecting the grass very much.
But what they could do, they could use it to then take out the players that are running in on goal.
But it's still a foul, though.
Oh, it's still a foul. So I can't just drive.
You can't drive your lawnmower over one of the Millwall players. No, that's an assault and also probably a red card.
Okay. I'll be honest. You swayed the balance massively. 4 lawnmowers. I've gone even. We've gone 5-5-5. So now, your last rule, I'm assuming, if it's good enough, this is where Millwall can easily overtake. Because I think it's 5-5 there. I think that makes it so difficult for the Real Madrid players. So where are we at? What's this last rule?
Well, I got back into football the other day. I hadn't played in about 6 months. I thought, you know what? I'm going to get back into it.
Okay.
Didn't have any boots, right? Had some Adidas Predators. They can sponsor us if they want.
They
ripped because I wore them just too much. I wore them like 4 or 5 times a week. They ripped.
Fair.
Went to Sports Direct on Holloway Road. Few moments from where we are now.
Yeah.
Bought some boots. I've got uneven feet, right? So my left foot fits perfectly. My right foot's too big. Ooh. Playing with my right foot when I'm right-footed in a shoe that's too big made me realise how unbelievably difficult it is. So every single Real Madrid player, not only do they have to put the left boot on the right foot and the right boot on the left foot, they also have to play in boots that are 2 sizes too big.
Yeah, it's done. Mill will win. I think
they win, don't they?
They win. These are fantastic rules.
Because, bro, this shoe I have at the moment is only this much too big and I'm kicking it like a clown.
And to give you more context, I have Kai Havertz football boots because he donated them for a stream that I did recently. And his football boots said 10.75 and the other one said 10.25. So they get them.
No way.
Yeah. And it says it on the boot as well. So it says it on the label, 10.75 and 10.25. So they get it specifically molded to their foot. So I can't even imagine what they'll be like in just normal size football boots. So yeah, so big up Kai Havertz for actually donating them boots in for the stream that we did for Jamaica. But that is mad. So yeah, if they've got one left and right, and then they're too small. Also, another antidote to that as well. I do body doubling. Ollie Watkins, he also has that as well. He has 9.75, I think, he has to his boots. Both of them are the same size. But they get molded to their feet. So, yep, I'm going to go with a score of... what can we go to score quickly? Millwall have won the game easily, though. I'm actually going to knock off goals. So Real Madrid now lost goals as well. So 10-2 to Millwall under-18s. Congratulations. They've won £1 billion. You get a share of it. That is it for Ref of the Day. That is the pinnacle. That is
spending on new boots.
That is now the example. That is where we got our producer in, Kim, a Man City fan. He's given you the example of how you win ref for the day. And after the break, we'll be doing a Fantasy 11. It is Sea Creatures. Stay tuned.
VAR, are you serious? On FUBAR Radio.
I told you stay tuned. I told you stay locked in. We are back and it's Fantasy 11 time. It is Sea Creatures. I think we've done Mythical Creatures before. We are going to Sea Creatures today. So, Kim, you know how this goes. You've been producing this a lot of the time, so you know how this one works out. We're going to go from keeper all the way through to 11. We're doing 4-3-3. And I'm going to give you my goalkeeper. You're going to give me yours. And then we're going to go all the way through. And then at the end, you're going to name it off your 11. And I'm going to get a name off mine and decide who the winner is. Right, starting in goal. Very obvious.
It's obvious, isn't it? It's obviously an octopus.
There we go. Back to back.
Too many arms.
Yeah, makes sense.
Just too many arms.
Yeah, I mean, people, you know, there's an analogy when a keeper's being really good in goal, making loads of saves, it's like he's got octopus arms. So we both got an octopus. Fine.
Fine.
Back four.
Back four.
Starting with right back.
Right back, I've gone for a seal. I just feel like they're nimble.
Yeah.
Sometimes the way they eat fish is, it seems aggressive.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You've got a bit of nimbality, not a word.
Yep.
And you've got aggressiveness.
Fair. And you know what? People misconceive seals to be just fat and lazy. But I went to a zoo in Rome last week.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, they are very elegant. They move. They were interacting with us. They were doing tricks. I said, wow. So do you know what? I've dropped the ball there on Seal. But Seal is in my team.
Seal is in your team. Okay, I'll see what you see.
So don't worry, it's in my team. I've written it down before, so I'm no cheating. It's in my team, but it's not playing right back. I've got the salmon.
Nice.
A nice meal. But the salmon up leaps like a salmon. Yeah, the aerial balls and stuff like that.
So fair.
Salmon's there. Right back for me. Go on.
Left back.
Yep.
I've got bluefin tuna. I'm pretty sure it's the quickest fish in the ocean.
They're lightning.
They're lightning. They're rapid. They're also massive. Also the most expensive fish in the world.
Didn't know that.
But they go for like literally like 20 grand, these big fishes.
Really?
Yeah, they're huge. Mad.
Didn't know that.
And I like them as well. Everyone likes tuna.
I mean, interesting you've gone left back if they are the most expensive. Who knows? You could have played on that and fought further afield, maybe a midfield. But you know what? Don't mind it. I've gone, you might have beaten me here on that one, because I've looked at my two favourite fishes for food. Right back, salmon. Left back, I've gone codfish. Big fish. I like the like I said, there's not really much.
You're getting cooked.
Yeah, I've lost this one. I've lost the left back.
You lost left back.
Don't worry, we got some heavy hitters in the main position. So centre back pairing, go on.
Blue whale, you're not getting past it. Great white shark. Just gonna eat your striker. Your striker's out the game. Whoever your striker is, who's your striker?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Because he's getting eaten, right? There's no point.
I've gone blue whale as well.
Yeah.
But I've gone killer whale.
I've got killer whale in my team, but not a centre back.
Oh, I got killer.
Interesting.
Because the whales, it's the green lines.
Yeah. Shark and whales. Does make sense.
The great white that you've gone with might eat your centre back.
It's so big though. I don't even think the great white can be arsed trying to eat the blue whale.
That's a good point. I've gone blue whale and killer whale. I think the green lines there. They got the chemistry. They understand the task. So that's where I've gone.
My midfield three is cooking you.
Go on. What have you got?
I've got crab. In CDM.
Same.
Obviously. Same. You're going to grab a CDM.
Come on, G. Go on.
Ahead of him, a manta ray glides past the defenders. Next to him, the jellyfish. Can't touch it. Can't touch that jellyfish.
Yeah, but...
And it's got bare little legs.
So where's the jellyfish playing? In the eight.
In the sort of eight, yeah. The manta ray is in the 10. The jellyfish is in the 8. No one's getting close to it. That's the thing. So it's got the freedom of the park.
You read what I've got here. The M crab, number 8 jellyfish.
Mad.
But number 10, my captain, it's the starfish. It's the star of the show. Come on, work with me.
It's
the star.
It's a good shout.
Yeah, different angles. Come
it's a
pop good it. Shout. Yeah, come on. So
it's
I think that takes over your man. So you've beat me on the left back, but right now, that number 10 is beating your manta ray.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair.
All right, so we're doing very well here.
My front three is cooking.
Yeah, okay, now this is where I could lose it.
My front three is cooking.
I could lose it here. All right.
I've got dolphin on the right.
Okay, I hear you.
Intelligent, agile, beautiful.
I hear you.
On the left, I've got killer whale, right? And I've had to put the killer whale there because killer whales eat seals, so I can't have the killer whale on the same side as my seal.
Okay.
So killer whale left wing, seal right back. Far away from each other. Killer whale's got other things to worry about. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
From a corner, maybe he's going to try and eat his own
player.
But at the moment, we should actually be all right. Killer whale on the left. Nasty. They're nasty, aren't they?
Okay.
They're quick, they're nasty. Up front, swordfish. Straight to the point.
He's thinking.
Straight to the point. I don't know
who's won this one, you
Jamie
know.
Jamie Vardy.
We've gone again, green lines. We've gone like, not fishies fish. We've gone like shark fishes for the front three because they've got to be elegant. They've got to be powerful. They've got to be strong. Right wing, I've gone shark. Okay. I haven't really specified what shark, but a shark. Right wing just, well, he's at you. Yeah. Standard. Left wing, I've gone with the seal. Far away enough from the shark. But again, intelligent, agility-wise, you know, what was the word? I was going to say agility.
Brother, if my killer whale tracks back even for 1 second, your seal is straight out of this game.
Fair. And then up front, striker, I've gone dolphin.
Bit flamboyant for me.
But they're just so intelligent and it's not like though. Listen, big up Rick Jokeres. It's not like it's not going to be physical and Haalandish. It's more intelligent. It's more the Alvarez. It's more the Jesus. It's more the elegant.
Too many flicks. Not enough goals. Do you know what I mean? I don't want my striker to be doing step overs.
This one's
going straight to the net.
This is a tight game. It's either a draw. It's just you might have pipped it. The attackers. You might have pipped it.
Also, your Dolphins getting cooked by my Great White defense.
No, that's the thing. All right, let me run through my 11 and then you're going to get in full and then you're going to give me your 11 and you're going to decide the winner. I'll let you, because you've been fair today, you've done the debate. I'm going to let you decide. In goal, Octopus, both of us. Fair, Octopus, it makes sense. It doesn't need to say too much. It's self-explanatory. Of course, Octopus in goal. Right back, leaps like a salmon. I've gone salmon and also can get up and down the wing. They are quite elegant and quick fishes. Left back, Codfish. I'll be honest, I dropped the ball here on this one. Codfish, I just liked it when I eat it, so put it left back. Centre back pairing, blue whale and killer whale, green lines, people, you know me, I like them to link up. They're both whales and they're dominant. Blue whale is the biggest sea creature in the world, that's a fact. Killer whale, just dangerous at the back. Midfield three, in DM, crab, sideways, snip, cut, break up play, you hear me? Plays to the ball to the side, doesn't play it forward, plays side to side, can cover the back line. Number 10, starfish, captain. It makes sense. It's the start of the show. Number 8, jellyfish. Can't touch it. Stings you. All well and good. Does the dirty work. Right wing, we're going shark. Nyah, 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 nyah. Get at you. Come on. Left wing, the seal. They're actually intelligent animals. They're not lazy. You may think in your mind they're fat and lazy. They're not. They're very elegant. I went to a zoo last week. And up front, I got the dolphin. It just thinks ahead. It's a 4D thinker. It's what I've done in mostly fantasies 11s. Picks up the ball in the spaces, doesn't do the bullying, the physical work, and will score a goal. Can be it. I've seen a dolphin put a ball in its nose as well. I've seen all that stuff. So, yeah, striker.
Octopus.
Standard.
Bare arms. Too many arms.
Fair.
Seal right back. Nimble, cute, bit aggressive.
Yep.
When they eat fish. Centre back pairing. Blue whale. Can't get past it. Great white shark. It's just going to eat your dolphin, so you ain't got a striker. Left back. Bluefin tuna. Fastest fish in the sea. One of the fastest fish in the sea. Expensive, beautiful. Midfield three, crab. It's Rodri. Manta ray ahead of him, gliding past you. Jellyfish in the middle. You aren't going to touch it. It's going to have the freedom of the park. Front three of the intelligent, beautiful dolphin on the right wing. The killer whale, the nasty killer whale on the left wing. And up front, the swordfish, the Jamie Vardy, straight towards goal. Bing, bang, bong. I win.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I was trying to sway you. All right, listen, listeners, he wins, but it's 3-2. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, I didn't get walked over. That's how I'm gonna end the fantasy 11. Yes, I did lose the fantasy 11, but I won the debate today, which for me is a big win. I don't do well in debates, so I'm happy with that. Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure, Kim, having you in the studio. You're always in the studio, but having you this side of the studio and you know, giving us your thoughts, especially being a Man City fan, this weekend's been a massive, massive marker in the Premier League title race for Arsenal. So yeah, it's only right to have you on. Thank you so much for joining us. And please go follow Kim and look out for him across all other platforms. You can see him doing great work as well. And it's been a pleasure having him here on this side of the studio, as well as producing the show. That is our producer today, Kim, but also the special guest. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again soon.
VAR, are you serious on FUBAR Radio?